This is Europe.
This is Europe.
This is Europe.
The European Union is made up of 27 member states. Each one is as distinctive as its neighbour, rich in language, culture and heritage. But in this modern world of competing challenges, how do we foster a sense of collaboration and cooperation across borders and between nearly 500 million inhabitants, all speaking over 20 different languages?
Willkommen.
Welcome.
Willkommen. Welcome.
Hello, I'm your host, Shahida Bari, and together we're going on a journey across Europe, highlighting the work of a very special community, Interreg. Working with institutions, local partners and individuals for over three decades, Interreg have been funding projects which help transform the lives of everyday Europeans.
This is Europe.
This is Europe.
This is Europe.
In this, the second series of This is Europe, we'll be hearing how Interreg is tackling social exclusion within countries and across borders.
So depending on the reason for their social exclusion, there will be an intervention. And then they can reintegrate society and not be isolated. So we are very excited about that.
Providing support for sustainable food systems.
In the middle of this highly urbanized French Riviera, there are a 6-hectare farm producing 25 tons of vegetables. So that's a gem.
And helping to create a greener Europe.
We celebrated 20,000 car sharing users in Bremen and 6,500 cars removed from the streets. So that's a line of parked cars that's more than 30 kilometers long.
This is Europe.
This is Europe.
This is the inside story of how Interreg is delivering real change to the citizens of Europe.
This is my Europe. This is our Europe.
This is Europe, the Interreg podcast.
This is unity. This is strength. This is your Europe. In this first episode of this second series, we're raising the curtain on the cultural life of the continent in an unprecedented context.
France has announced a second national lockdown and Germany a partial lockdown in an attempt to combat spiralling cases of COVID-19. Non-essential businesses such as restaurants and bars will close.
The coronavirus pandemic has hit many industries hard, including the cultural and creative industries. Across Europe, theatres, live music venues, galleries, nightclubs and museums have fallen silent. But how have artists and musicians themselves reacted to the crisis? And what is being done behind the scenes to help the cultural industries weather the storm? The stories you're about to hear explore that response and the support provided by the Interreg community. We'll also be thinking about what the crisis has taught us about the future of cultural collaboration and what creative industries need so that they can thrive across the region. We start in the Mediterranean with the work of an Interreg project called Çebek. Çebek takes its name from the small trading ships that sailed the Mediterranean in the 17th and 18th centuries, bringing commerce and prosperity to all corners of southern Europe. It is this spirit that informs the project, helping artists and musicians become entrepreneurs, identifying other creatives, organisations and institutions that they can trade with around Europe. Through training, networking and funding, Çebek encourages opportunities across the region, linking musicians to promoters, artists to galleries and playwrights to theatres. There are some challenges, though, like the precarity of work for those in the cultural sector. Levels of self-employment are more than double the EU average. Freelance and project-based income is the bulk of many creative livelihoods in this precarious industry. But Interreg is finding ways to help people working in the arts, like Guido Manfrini.
I've been a musician since I was a child. I did musical studies through my teenage years. I formed a band and I started my career as a professional musician.
Guido is a gifted musician, but he's also a promoter, organising over 100 concerts across Italy and Europe since 2015. In 2019, he worked with the municipality of Bologna, another partner in the Cebek project, to stage the San Donato Festival, attracting over 13,000 visitors across 18 days of cultural programming. The festival was the highlight of the city's summer.
It was going really well. We were doing really good numbers. We started a festival that was funded by the Bologna City Council. That was one of the highlights of the city for the summer. We were given a lot of praise and a lot of recognition for that. And the band was doing great. Just a few weeks before the pandemic started in Italy, we had a tour in India and we had many international dates booked. So but on both sides, it was going pretty well. I think we were kind of accelerating very quickly when the pandemic hit.
When the pandemic hit, Europe went into shutdown and Guido faced a year like no other.
I've been hardly working in the sector since February 2020 because of the current crisis. So a lot of the activities that I used to run have either folded or have diminished dramatically.
Before the pandemic, Guido had been organizing musical residences across Europe with collaborators he met through Cebek, with hopes of staging a concert in the summer of 2020. But lockdown brought all of those efforts to an abrupt end.
Unfortunately, the people we were more in touch with there, the people that we made more of a network with, also happened to dissolve after the pandemic. So these were our project partners, and we established a pretty good relation. They even came to Bologna. We had we organized event together and stuff, but unfortunately they also dissolved after the pandemic, and the company actually disappeared. So that was one of the big problems, that we started something that we couldn't really bring to an end because our partners dissolved.
And Guido wasn't alone in contending with these challenges. Cebek's entire project of creative collaboration across Europe was under threat. Cebek relied on networking events that would enable partnerships for new opportunities across borders. Things now made impossible by the unprecedented restrictions on movement brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic. So was there anything Cebek could do? Francesca Imparato is a project manager at Cebek's lead partner, ArtUr. She says that the project had to adapt and quickly.
After 2 months, we asked them to review their project, of course, because since most of the projects entailed traveling abroad, they could not do that. And so they have to be creative and rethink their project in a way that they could actually access the grant and use the funds available in the best possible way. So in the end, some of them managed to develop their very own local festivals. Some of them decided to invest a lot of resources in online communication, which is ever more important right now, right? And some of them also made the most out of new technologies. So they succeeded in producing music tracks by developing their project with foreign partners, and they collaborated through online channels, which was very interesting, actually.
The creatives behind the scenes adapted to new ways of working. So did those who were making the music. This is Guido's band, Rumba de Bodas, performing Into the Wild, which was written, composed, and performed remotely, showing that even a global pandemic can't put a stop to the music. It was innovations like this that saved Cebek from folding completely in the face of COVID-19, according to Raul Abeledo of the University of Valencia, another of the project's partners.
A lot of people go digital in this way, or develop digital contents, or I mean they reorient. And more or less we were able to avoid the catastrophe and the cul-de-sac that the COVID was affecting, no, the project.
Raoul is a professor of cultural economics. He's been tracking the development of the creative industries for over 20 years. Part of his work with Chebec involves getting regular feedback from the creatives enrolled in the project in Valencia. He says that in the precarious sector dominated by freelancers, providing information and support on basics like funding opportunities, industry contacts, and working abroad has been crucial.
The common evaluation it was that it was not only necessary, this kind of approach, but also the people was waiting for it. I mean, for example, our experience in Valencia, the most important thing was the group of people, the group of organizations and freelancers that were participating because they were really for it, no? They were ready and they needed, no?
Working with Interreg on the Chebec project has only strengthened Raoul's view that interaction and cooperation between local, regional and national governments across the EU is vital in providing the support and information that creatives need.
The approach must be this, no? How to coordinate the different public institutions at the different territorial levels, how we coordinate at the same level the different departments, for example, the experience of the municipality of Barcelona connecting the cultural department with the economic promotion department, how we also work with rural territories, how we promote this kind of entrepreneurial competencies with the cultural workers.
Raoul envisages a world where this kind of cooperation would introduce French artists to Italian galleries, Spanish musicians to Croatian promoters, and German actors to Swedish directors. And all of this would help build a thriving cultural ecosystem of artistic entrepreneurs across the continent.
It's a puzzle in some way that has a lot of pieces, and in order to get an operative picture, we must integrate all these pieces, all the keys of the piano that we must play in order to play the music, no, the song.
There are some challenges to playing this tune altogether too. For Raoul, it's important to change the public perception of culture, proving that the arts are not only about pleasure and beauty, but about economic benefit too.
We need to avoid this vision of artists and creators and cultural workers as a bohemian people living la vida loca, because this image makes hard this approach, no, to the social value, and King can give some kind of frivolité, no? I mean, it's like this is just for fun. It has not value, and it's really important. I mean, the kind of role that culture has to play in our transformation, global transformation as society and as an economy, no?
As project leader for Chebec, Francesca says the pandemic has helped her better understand how to help the cultural sector flourish.
I think in general we have to start designing programs that are more customized for each cultural subsector. Because sometimes we put these industries all together, but they can be very, very different and the needs are very different. Performing arts have their own specific dynamics, which are different from the audiovisual sector, from the music sectors, and so on.
Despite the difficulties facing creatives everywhere, Guido is hopeful about the future.
Now I'm kind of in a transition moment, but I'm still working very much in the cultural sector with several music production projects. And my outlook is not bleak, and I'm not sad at all. I mean, something changed and we lost something. Some of it will be lost forever. Some of it will recover, but we have an opportunity to really find new spaces to occupy, both geographically and artistically, creatively. I'm not sad. I don't think anybody should be.
This is Europe.
This is Europe.
The podcast from the Interreg team, telling the stories of cooperation across borders and within communities. Well, with Guido's optimism still ringing in our ears, we're off to the far southwestern corner of Europe next, where a very special project called Euro Guadiana is answering the call for cooperation between communities, government and artists. This is the region of Andalusia and the Algarve, where the Guadiana River marks the border between Portugal and Spain. On the Portuguese side, the towns of Castro Marim and Villa Real de Santo Antonio face their Spanish neighbour, Ayamonte, from across the water. For centuries, the river marked the division between two different countries and cultures. Now, the locals mix seamlessly on both sides. And it's with this spirit that the Euro-Guadiana project aims to foster collaboration between the three cities' councils. By pooling their resources, they hope to create a unified cultural agenda, a program of concerts, festivals, plays and dances. This will provide jobs for artists. And by compiling a handy guide of what's on across the region, they're drawing locals to culture and attracting tourists too. Euro-Guadiana started before the pandemic, but it's become even more important since lockdown. This is Yolanda Matias, communications manager for the project.
Before the COVID, we were really used to go to the other part of the river, to the other part of the Eurocity, to do a lot of activities of our day-to-day lives. When you go to do your shopping list, you buy some part of the shopping list in Spain and another part in Portugal. Through the cultural agenda, we are trying to recover these habits again, to go to Portugal or to come to Spain for a concert or for a presentation and recover all these social habits that we have been interrupted during the pandemic time.
The three towns from two countries form what is being called a Euro City. It's one of the first permanent cross-border governance projects of its kind in the region. The councils meet up monthly to design the cultural agenda from the various events on offer across the area. So, you could enjoy music in Ayamonte one weekend, then take in a play in Castro Marim or Villa Real de San Antonio the next. Or maybe you want to try your hand at flamenco or hear some traditional Portuguese fado. Thanks to Euro-Guadiana, it's much easier for tourists to know how and where to do this. Yolanda Mateus again.
Maybe you have a concert tonight in Villa Real de Santo Antonio and in Ayamonte, just 1 kilometer. You don't know that is going on, what is going on. So basically, we are like agents that, as a Euro-Guadiana Eurocity, to connect what's happening around and to communicate that to the citizens. The other impact is, of course, that they, especially individual agents, individual artists, are getting more people in their shows, and the mobility between towns is being increased.
Someone who can see the worth of such a project is Gloria Botello. She runs the film festival Fronteras, hosting screenings across the Euro-Guadiana region. Gloria has one specific problem that she thinks a project like this will fix.
For me, the biggest challenge is bureaucracy, because you have to fight a lot for get the things done. So you want to do a lot of things, but you don't have the resources, of you don't have the contact of the person that can help you.
This is where Interreg comes in, cutting red tape and streamlining the process of staging complex artistic productions in public spaces.
I think that they can help us on that more than any other institution. And of course, they have a cultural agenda very, very rich. We have a lot of ideas in common, so if we do it better, we'll be better.
Like all projects, Euro-Guadiana has had to grapple with the isolation and disruption brought about by the pandemic. Most of its events moved online during lockdown or were cancelled altogether. But then something magical happened in May. Just as the sun began to break from behind the clouds, Euro-Guadiana staged its first event since lockdown, Europe Day, a celebration of peace and unity across the continent. One of the headline acts of the festival was local heroine, Susana Travassos, one of Portugal's finest female singers.
Eu naveguei no sertão, Enquanto andaste no mar, longe mar.
It was mixed feelings because I was really excited, because I was emotional to be back, but at the same time was a strange feeling because, you know, you stay so long with that then you have to do baby steps again. I didn't know how to put the microphone in my hand or if I should sit or if I, you know, I was a bit uncomfortable with the situation. And this is strange when you are used to do that for 10 years. It's really strange that then you go back and you are not feeling comfortable. But now to be back on stage, it's really amazing.
Eu procurava o Japão. Tu pelas...
Europe Day was a triumph. And since then, Uruguadiana have released a summer program full of in-person events. They're planning concerts, dances, and theatre productions. Yolanda Mathias is upbeat about the impact the project will continue to have.
This is like a big trigger of the post-COVID, let's say, period. Because what we are getting as a big success is this feedback from the people that they're really happy to have finally plans to do in our territory, to have the big picture. The internal mobility within our Eurocity is something that we are working strongly, and it's a day to day is getting better.
This is Europe. This is Europe. You're listening to This is Europe, the podcast celebrating 30 years of collaboration and cooperation across the EU thanks to the Interreg community. This last year has been difficult for the cultural life of the Eurocity, but also across the European Union. As we've heard, many artists have had their livelihoods come to a grinding halt. But against all the odds, one project did something that seems more movie than real life. This is the sound of the Zagreb Philharmonic Orchestra. They have been thrilling audiences for 150 years, and 2020 proved to be no different. For the first time in its history, the orchestra have been performing live music to silent movies by the likes of Charlie Chaplin in front of audiences across the Croat-Serbian border area. This is part of a project called Film Harmonia, bringing innovative musical performances to a region with a turbulent history. And it's Mirko Boch, the orchestra's director, who has been keeping the show on the road through the pandemic. How?
Let's say that we had luck because it was in June and in September, so the COVID was still under control of Croatian government. And let's say that we was a little bit crazy. And I said, let's do it now because we don't know what will happen in the future. So we push with our partner from Novi Sad and the cities and with mayor, and we do it. Thank God.
Before the show took to the road, the Zagreb Philharmonic had been partnering with the Novi Sad Orchestra of Serbia. Together, they soundtracked Charlie Chaplin films such as Modern Times and The Kid, as well as other black and white classics like Battleship Potemkin and Nostradamus. The joint orchestra has played not just in Novi Sad, but in Ilok and Vukova. The latter proved to be one of the tour's landmark dates, bringing people together in a city still visibly marked by the scars of the Croatian War of Independence. Timea Kalma was one of the lucky musicians from Novi Sad selected to play in this superstar orchestra. For her, it was an opportunity of a lifetime.
From my point of view, the Film Harmonia project is an outstanding audio-video spectacle. Maybe it sounds weird, but I could feel Chaplin's spirit and soul on the stage.
The man channeling the spirit of Charlie Chaplin and orchestrating the musicians was conductor Krešimir Batenik.
Sometimes we joke about me that I'm the Croatian conductor for mute movies. It's a great experience because this is not something that it's usual now in 21st century, because we go to cinema and watch the movies with all that 3D, 4D, 6D effects. This is a really nice for children that was in the audience. It's a big experience for them. Listen to the music and watch the movie. It was so fresh after 100 years.
For orchestra director Mirko Bosch, music and culture can drive cooperation between different communities, especially during periods of great adversity.
Music open everything. Music don't have the border. That was the message from both sides. So let's do it together, because music is for everybody. Don't recognize the color, nationality, just good feeling from the heart, and show our government, show mayors that we can do it through music and enjoy in life.
We're coming to the end of our cultural tour of Europe, and we've heard from so many creative voices singing from the same song sheet. Whether it's Guido hosting and performing music across the continent before a lockdown, or Gloria staging film festivals in one of the continent's first Euro cities, or Krešimir conducting a super orchestra in cities once scarred by war. It's clear to see both the power of creative collaborations and the role of cooperative government if cultural life is to thrive across the EU in our post-pandemic world. There are challenges ahead too about how to support the sector, but the likes of Interreg are taking the lead, and the initiatives they support are crucial in bringing culture to communities and demonstrating its value. Our superstar singer, Susanna Travassos, sums it up perfectly.
With the COVID situation, I guess it was really bad, you know, to leave this experience for everyone, but we also can receive some lessons from it. One is that culture is really important, because you can't live only looking for the television. So it's really, really important to give culture to people. So this is, I guess, is something that we could feel. How is it to be without? So we also can now value more. And I guess also the government should take more an economic view of their culture, you know, because culture can be exported and can bring also economy to the country, not only spiritual.
From the Interreg team, telling the stories of cooperation across borders and within communities. Now, as Europe's cultural sector moves out of crisis, there's another which is still very much ongoing. In our next episode, we'll be turning our attention to the continent's nearly 3 million refugees. We'll be hearing about Interreg projects that are helping them integrate across the EU. From working in the Dutch healthcare system.
In the beginning, people were a bit uncomfortable and said, what are we doing here? How can we speak with these people who don't speak the language? And at the end, we actually saw people hugging each other.
To a refugee who runs a hostel himself.
I am certainly not the best refugee that have gone through this system, but at the same time, I had that possibility that I was noted and I was given the possibility to make contribution to the society that have given so much to me.
That story is from the heart of Interreg's efforts to welcome our new arrivals, all coming up in the next episode of This is Europe. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Shahida Bari, and the producer was Max Bauer. This was a Tempo and Talker production. for Interrupt.